everyone, welcome to the podcast. This week I have another artist interview for you. I am chatting with UK artist Mary Price, who's also known over on Instagram as The Artist in the Shed. I absolutely love Mary's colourful and vibrant work, and in this episode she talks about transitioning from making art as a hobby to selling her work and setting up a professional art business. We chat about all the different avenues that artists can explore, things like art markets, cafes, prints, workshops, online classes, and even lifestyle products. If you're also at that stage of beginning to sell your work, or maybe you are thinking about it, this episode will give you plenty of ideas and encouragement. I hope that you enjoy it. So let's get straight into it and hear from Mary. Hi, Mary, it's Laura.
Oh, hi, lovely to meet you. Well, to talk to you anyway. Yeah, I've been really looking forward to doing this.
Me too, very much so.
It's amazing that we can actually do this, don't you think?
It is, and I sometimes just have to pinch myself to think about the fact that I get to have all these conversations with people all over the world. It's just amazing.
Yeah, I think you know, there's so many things have kind of opened up to us all now that we, you know, you can collaborate and communicate with people all over the place and find out about so many people and be inspired by so many different artists. It's incredible.
It's truly a different world we live in now, even to say 5-10 years ago.
Totally. I mean, I think I'm a little bit older than you. I'm 57. There was no internet for most of my lifetime. So I just find it incredible, really incredible. And it took me quite a long time to actually wake up to the kind of potential, you know, the way you can use it for your art, you know, to promote yourself and to and just to showcase what you do. Incredible, really.
Yeah, because I often hear when I listen to podcast interviews myself and I hear about artists that, you know, used to take like portfolios physically to places and, you know, use different ways of getting their art out to people. And it sounds in a way a lot harder.
Well, I think it probably was a lot harder because you're really at the mercy of the taste of one person. And if they like your art or they think it's viable and they think they can sell it, you know, that was the one criteria really that you would be, you know, it was very much, I think it was a lot harder. I think it's much easier now to have a platform so that you can tell what you're doing and just show what you're doing to people.
Yeah, well, I think what we'll do, because I want to chat about that. I actually wanted to talk about how you have developed your art and used Instagram as a tool in that. But before we do that, we need to kind of, I think, take a step back and let people hear your journey and how you got to being an artist, especially for anyone maybe that's not familiar with your story. Can we go back a little bit and can you tell me how art showed up for you in your life?
Well, I think I've always really loved painting and drawing. When I was little, we had a blackboard in the house. My mum made it actually, and we always had a table, an art table, with some materials, just simple materials, paper, chalks, crayons, that kind of thing. And mum and dad, they were teachers, and I think they really rated the importance of giving children the chance to explore and to have a go at lots of different things. And they tell me that when I was little, whenever we used to go out for a day trip, the minute I got back in through the door, I would be at the blackboard chalking up the experience. And and I think that, you know, I was always kind of, I guess I was the arty one in the family. My sister, one of my sisters is also quite arty. But yeah, I think I was encouraged at school. I always loved just making things, creating things. I went on to study art at college. I did a kind of combined art and literature course, which I loved. You know, it was just a big excuse to fling paint around and just enjoy learning lots of things. I mean, getting the chance to learn about ceramics and sculpture and printmaking and textile art. But I always really loved painting most, and that was what I concentrated on towards the end of the course. Painting is what's always stuck with me. Even though I like trying different things out now, I'm primarily a painter. That's my thing. So yeah, so I think I've always enjoyed making things, always enjoyed creating, but I never really kind of thought that art could be something that I would be able to do all the time. Times were very different. I graduated in 1979. And in the UK, we were going through quite a bad recession at that point. There wasn't a lot of work around. I left college and my first thought really was I needed to earn money. I needed to get a job and start my life independently. I got married quite young and we were saving up for a mortgage. You know, life's realities kind of stepped into, you know, they kind of got in the way of really even beginning to consider that art would be a thing that I could do full time. So yeah, I got various jobs. You know, I worked for a local newspaper in advertising. I worked on a city farm. I was a travel agent for a while. Did a whole range of jobs. Always alongside that, I'd have some painting going on. I always had a table in the room, and you know, I would always have something on the go. But it was never even slight. And I never really felt that it would be something that I could do on a full-time basis or a professional basis. Didn't really even think about selling. It was more that it was something I had that urge to do. I always felt that need to be making and creating something at every stage in life. So I have to say that I've always painted, but it's comparatively recent that I've actually been putting it out there with a view to actually selling my work.
So what changed then? When did you decide to, I guess, make that shift from doing it as something that was more just for you to actually sort of putting it out there and sharing it and selling it? And
the first time I really felt that I could put stuff out there, in the UK, we have these kind of open house art trails in lots of cities. And Bristol's quite big on that. You know, there are quite a few art trails that happen. And I joined my local art trail that was called North Bristol Artists. I mean, it still exists. And I did for about 5 years. I either showed my work in friends' houses or I opened up my own house. The idea is that these trails are normally held just before Christmas. So people are sort of thinking about presents and thinking about buying art. They were great. You know, it was a great opportunity to meet other artists, to kind of get involved in, a kind of art community in the city. I felt quite encouraged because I did sell work. So that was a really big thing. That was quite a big step for me to just put the work out there. And I don't know about you, but the first time you do it, you feel so vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of you're showing your heart, really, aren't you? When you put your art out there. And now I don't think twice about it. But the first few times I did it, I felt, oh, am I good enough? Is this work? Is anybody going to want to buy it? I think for a while, I felt that you were measured by whether or not you could actually sell what you did. And I don't really feel that's so much the case now. I mean, it's always lovely to sell art. Of course it is. And we all need to in order to kind of maintain our practice. I think now I kind of realise that somebody might walk into the room and they haven't got any money, but they might say something really lovely or something that really stirs you, makes you feel encouraged to carry on, really. And that for me has almost as much value as somebody actually, you know, putting their hand in their pocket and actually buying a piece of art. I think, you know, the kind of feedback you get, particularly when it's positive feedback,
yeah,
you know, obviously, is just as valuable as you kind of carry on through your art journey as kind of successfully selling a piece. Do you feel that?
Yes, absolutely. And I feel like when people sometimes express how a piece connects with them, that to me is really special. So they might, you know, say, oh, I see this in it, or it reminds me of this, or that is just as valuable, I think, as an actual sale. And even just, as you said, like even people just saying that they love it, that it makes them happy, that it brings them joy. Or
I mean, that always really spurs me on if people kind of, you know, they respond in that positive way. Yeah, I started putting the art out there, and then a friend invited me to exhibit at a cafe with her. And this was way back. This is probably about 15 years ago. My friend Jo Whiteland, who's a batik artist, she does lovely wildlife batiks. You might want to put a link up to her work after this. I mean, it's just so beautiful.
I will do that.
She invited me to exhibit with her. So I said, yes, I would do it. So we put our art up in a local cafe. And she's a bit more established than I am. you know, she certainly was at that stage. It was really good. I mean, it felt really good to see the work in an art cafe and to see it on the walls. And I did manage to sell a few pieces, particularly on the opening night and then just after that. So I felt really encouraged. So I guess for me, yeah, the starting point was taking part in art trails and then putting the work up in cafes. And I've continued to do that. I find that, you know, for profile, it's quite good. You know, even if you put your work up there and you don't sell anything straight away, people do tend to notice what you're doing. And I found that sometimes, even if I've put the work up in a cafe for a short time and I haven't sold anything, people come to you later on. You know, I can think of many people, you know, they have a birthday, a milestone birthday, and they want something nice, or the paintings have reminded them of something, but they can't afford a painting, but they'd like a print. And they might come get back to you and say, oh, could I have some prints, please? And, you know, of course, that's always possible, isn't it? I just think it's really important to always make sure that you showcase what you're doing as often as you possibly can, and saying yes to opportunities when they're offered to you. I think that's so key. Mm,
I couldn't agree more. And I've certainly had a sort of similar experience, actually, because I still show my work in a local cafe. And
yes,
I find that people do come and contact me sometimes years after seeing something, you know.
Yes.
They'll mention a painting and I'll have to really rack my brains to remember what they're talking about, but it had an impact on them. And sometimes they'll come back because they might want to surprise like a partner or something, that they're with a present or something, and they've seen the work in the cafe. Or even I used to do art markets, which is a little bit different from the art trail type stuff, but again, I would get contacts from people years after I met them.
I think it's
lovely. And I'm a big believer too in getting out in your local community, putting your stuff out there. And even if it's not selling, it's still, you might not realize what it's actually doing as far as your profile and the connections.
I think I think it's so important. I love the idea of the art markets in Australia, because I follow quite a few people on Instagram who are obviously putting their stuff out there. We don't have quite the same thing. We have art fairs, but you have to pay sometimes up to £1,000 to participate. And that's quite a big investment. And I think that, you know, one day I'll get there. And that's something which I have on the horizon as an ambition, to maybe take part in an art fair. But I don't think I'm quite there yet. So we do have art markets. Well, we have kind of craft markets around Christmas time. I mean, for example, we have, I don't know whether you have them in Adelaide, but we have Etsy teams here. There's a Bristol Etsy team, and I have a small Etsy shop where I sell prints. I'm taking part this year in the Bristol Etsy market, which is in December. It's a first for me. I haven't taken part, and there's all kinds of makers and artists taking part, you know.
We have that here too.
All kinds.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, an Etsy one.
Have you ever taken part?
I haven't actually, because I'm not an Etsy seller, so I think need to be an Etsy seller to be in the Etsy market. That would make sense. but I know many art friends that have been involved in the Etsy markets here, because they do one around Christmas time here as well. So, and they're great. They're great. A lot of work.
There's a lot of work, because you have to think about a stall and making sure it looks pretty and making sure you have the right labels and cards, and so I'm making a lot of products which aren't paintings for that, because I have actually sort of expanded the art. Well, I make things like lampshades, painted flower pots, and I'm also thinking, well, I've actually just ordered a load of laser cut plywood birds, which I'm going to paint. So I'm kind of developing my product range. So everything's still original. Nothing's printed. It's all, I buy flower pots just from a garden centre, but I decorate them with really kind of intricate patterns, which are kind of similar to the kind of pattern and kind of symbolic work that you might see in some of the paintings I do. And I'm also, with the lampshades that I make, I'm kind of taking my paintings, just taking photographs of them. And there are so many kind of digital fabric printing businesses around now. Well, they'll just take some photographs and you just upload them. You might, you know, make a design using some various design technical things they have on the website. And then you get some fabric posted to you. And they're, you know, I've been using these fabrics, which are just like, I'm just looking at one now, which is a kind of palm tree, very kind of colourful abstract design, which has transferred very nicely to a lampshade. So I had to learn how to make lampshades. It's a bit of a fiddle. You buy these kits and you have to kind of, you know, it's, you have to use this double-sided sticky tape, which is just a nightmare. But, you know, I've got it down now to making a lampshade in about half an hour. I think the first one took me about 6 hours. It was just awful. But, you know, that was really fun to do. And I've been selling a few of those. Yeah, it's all about trying to find products that are right for the market that you're appealing to. And I think, you know, when you're doing something like an Etsy market, I don't know for sure. I mean, I haven't tried. I will put a couple of original paintings up on the stall. But I don't know whether that's the kind of the right place to be selling paintings. I think people who go to Etsy markets are looking for gifts. So I wanted to produce a few items that would maybe work as nice Christmas gifts. So that's been a preoccupation for the last month or so.
Well, it sounds like a really good idea to diversify and have some sort of more gifty type things and then combine that maybe with the art and prints. I know when I was doing art markets, that prints sold very well. I yes. also used to have a few original paintings, and depending on the market, sometimes I wouldn't sell any and other times they'd sell really well. And yes. I think every market is different, because every time I think that I had it figured out, I'd go to the next market and I'd be like, right, I've got what I need now. I know how this works, you know, the product range, the pricing and all that sort of stuff. And then that market would be completely different.
I think you just have to try so many things, don't you? I mean, if you don't try them, you don't know. And some things, I mean, I find cards always go well all the time. So it's always worth having a stash of cards. And I kind of go into mass production with my cards rather than getting them printed. I take photographs of the art, and sometimes it might just be a detail, and then I just stick the photograph down onto card blanks. It's a very, very cost-effective way of making cards, and also you can sign them, so they feel a little bit more special because they've got a signature.
And people do love that sort of special, especially when they're shopping at markets, because that's what they're going for. They're going to meet the makers and get those yes. handmade details. So any little yeah, things you yeah. can do that kind of just connect them with you as the artist are really, you know, are really lovely.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I think it's and it's also it's really nice sometimes to break away from doing the paintings and just to make something a little bit different. Yeah, I find it quite cathartic, particularly painting the plant pots, the planters. I mean, you just go into your own little world, just putting dots and little marks, and you know, it's a really nice thing to do. So I actually feel that each planter I make, although I'm making it for someone else and I don't know who that person will be, I'm getting a lot out of doing it. It's just a really nice activity. You're being creative, you're doing something. But then, you know, at the moment the shed's absolutely full of these plant pots, so I do need to get rid.
I love the idea.
It's a fun thing to do.
I love the idea of painting on the plant pots, and I can imagine you in your shed with your painting your pots and surrounded by all yeah. your colourful art.
Well, I think your work would translate really well to plant pots too. All the lovely abstract mark making that you do would look incredible.
I should give that a really try incredible. Sometime, actually. I've seen
if you have time, you do.
Yeah,
so
I know, because I'm always like, I'm always wanting to try something, and particularly when I have these conversations, every artist that I speak to, I come away with these great ideas. It's brilliant.
But there's not enough time in life, is there?
I know.
It's kind of, you know, there's so many things that you kind of, you know, you have there buzzing away, ideas that just, you know, I've got so many things I'd love to do, but it's just finding the time. There aren't enough hours in the day. There really aren't.
So let's talk a little bit about your art, because I would encourage anyone who's listening to this to go and check you out over on Instagram and on your website to see what you do, because it is vibrant, it's full of pattern and symbol, and it's very joyful. Have you always painted in that way?
Yeah, I've always painted fairly kind of I guess I'm kind of I'm an intuitive painter. I paint from my imagination. I'm mainly working in acrylic paint because it's quite forgiving. It dries quickly. I'm an impatient painter. I like to get on with it. So I don't like to wait for... I did try oil painting once, but it takes so long to dry. You know, you have to have about 10 paintings on the go at once. And even then, they're not dry enough to go on top of. So I've found acrylic paint to be the perfect medium for me. I do put a bit of mixed media in there sometimes. I like to collage and, you know, to use things like Posca pens and markers and... you know, a variety of media to kind of create the different shapes and marks that I'm looking for. So yeah, acrylic paint's lovely, and I enjoy particularly when I paint just putting colours next to each other. I mean, colour is definitely my thing. It's what I enjoy most about painting, and I love very bright kind of vibrant colours. So I enjoy colour contrast and, you know, finding new ways, mixing new colours and finding new kind of colour combinations is what it's all about, really. I also like building up marks. So my paintings are, they tend to be quite multi-layered. You know, I start off just by kind of almost putting anything up there just so I have something to respond to initially. And then, you know, the paintings kind of builds and informs itself. I don't always know what I'm going to be doing. So I kind of start off by just putting something down, you know, anything. It could be a swoosh of marks. It could be, you know, tiny little mark making using all kinds of little tools, you know, things you find around the house just to make a mark. Or or sometimes I might just block out the entire canvas in one color and then just start adding colors. I mean, there are lots, as you know, there are quite a lot of ways of kind of getting started. So I just get started doing something, and then I just respond to what I've done. And I've usually got sometimes I have no idea where I'm going, and I just allow the painting to just emerge gradually. And then I might start to kind of superimpose some imagery. And I guess really there are a number of different styles that I have. One style is kind of travel memory. I love traveling, and travel has always inspired me, and it inspires a lot of the imagery that I use. But about 3 years ago, I had an exhibition at the Tobacco Factory in Bristol, which is a very nice venue. It's quite a big room, so you've got some space to put up very large paintings. And I did a series of paintings based on a trip to Porto in Portugal. And what I was really struck by there were things like, you know, it's a very crumbly city. It's so beautiful. The architecture is just staggering. But I was really struck by some of the buildings which just aren't lived in anymore. And you'd go up to a window and there'd be curtains still hanging, which hadn't been pulled for probably decades. And yet they'd just been allowed to decay. And some of the buildings, they had this incredible faded grandeur. So I had a whole series of painting based on the windows in Porto and also kind of archways in cities. And that's a recurring theme, which I haven't really touched on this year at all, but it's something I definitely feel I'll go back to. The next theme that I'm really into, and this year really has been, I've kind of concentrated on a series of happy trees. And the inspiration again came from travel initially. I was in Mallorca about a year and a half ago, and we did a lovely walk down through into a valley behind a monastery at a place called Look up in the Tramuntana Mountains, which are just staggeringly beautiful. I just stumbled across this tree, and I didn't really think anything about it at the time. It was just a spreading tree with lovely branches, and just below it were all these incredible meadow flowers. I think we were there in May, so the flowers were just lovely. And that memory kind of, you know, I find I draw on memory without consciously sort of thinking about it at the time when I'm actually looking at something. And that memory I was painting one day and I thought, oh, I'll just paint a tree. And then I got my phone out and I was just looking at the photograph on the phone and just using that as a kind of reference point. And from that one memory and that one tree has come a whole series of trees, which they started off by being a kind of travel memory tree, but now they've moved on to become happy trees because a lot of people, they would look at them and they just said, oh, those trees, they're so joyful. They're so full of colour. They make me feel so happy. So I started to label them happy trees. And that's been my kind of preoccupation and the series that I've been working on. And I've got a blank canvas just looking at me there now, and I'm going to be starting to paint a happy tree today. It's just a series which hasn't spent itself yet. I'm still really enjoying making them. So sometimes I kind of know where I'm going, but even with the happy trees, I start off with a random mishmash of marks and colours and then just see where they go. And although they've become a little bit formulaic now because I kind of know what I'm doing, I try every time to try something new, whether it's a new paintbrush, a new colour, a new mark-making tool or whatever. I always try to introduce something that I haven't done before in just about every painting I do. I love exploring and experimenting and kind of just really playing on every painting. So, gosh, where are we? Oh, the other thing I love, generally, I'm just looking around the room at the paintings I've got here. I'm quite keen on doing meadows. I love the feeling of, we were in Cornwall earlier this year and we just stumbled on this amazing meadow. It was just, it had obviously been planted by the farmer, and it was just this sway of incredible flowers. It was so beautiful. And that's something I find inspiring. But when I paint, I don't paint from reality at all. I might sometimes do some little drawings and make notes so that, you know, a leaf looks like a leaf, but not too whimsical. And then I just, you know, enjoy painting how a place made me feel. So the meadow paintings that I do, they tend to be about an emotional response to something beautiful. That's a very long answer, Laura.
It's a great answer. I love that idea of just, you know, painting how you feel. Do you work on several canvases at once, or do you sort of have one that you kind of have and you work it through and then you start something new?
It varies really. I also like working on those little plywood boards that you can get, the cradled boards. So what I might do is I might have one big canvas on the go, and then I might have about three little cradled boards, and I might have some work on paper as well. Sometimes you can get quite stuck in paintings, you know, you get to a point where suddenly nothing seems to be working very well, and you need to kind of just leave it for a bit and just let it sort of, you know, sit there. And then, you know, if I'm in the mood, and I'm generally am in the mood, because it's my passion, it's what I love to do, I kind of will have something else on the go as well, so that I don't get too stuck on something that isn't working.
It's such a good strategy. That, I mean, it's one I use all the time. Yeah, I bounce around, and I always work in series too, like you mentioned.
I have noticed that.
I usually work on like five or six paintings at a time. Sometimes even more when I'm working on smaller pieces. Sometimes I feel like I'm never going to finish anything because I just keep adding more to the mix.
But it's a free... Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry, no, I was just going to say it takes the pressure off, yeah.
It's kind of a freer way of working as well, because you kind of, you can let go of one painting a little bit and just leave it and then get on with something else. And then suddenly, because you've actually let go of it for a little while, you can look at it and you say, oh, that's what it needs. It needs this, or it needs that. You know, you need to put different colour somewhere, a bit of contrast or some more marks, or, you know, bring in some imagery. I mean, I know I look at your lovely, lovely earthy paintings, and you have a kind of often a lovely abstract background that's really free and easy. And then you bring in some beautiful, beautiful botanicals, and, you know, it's just incredible style. I love it.
Thank you. It's amazing how just stepping away gives you so much clarity, doesn't it? Sometimes when I'm up close, I can't see the next move.
Sometimes just leaving it for a day I find helps, you know, or even a week. And then suddenly it kind of just comes to you. Oh, that's what I need to do to it. Letting things rest can be quite a good strategy and just getting on with something else. So that's where the plant pots come in, you know, because they're quite easy. I know what I'm doing with those, and you can't get too hung up on them, because it's just playing with pattern, really. So yeah, sometimes if I'm painting, I might just get a plant pot out and paint that instead, just so I've got something else to do. Yeah.
And you also painted where you actually make your art, didn't you?
Oh yeah, I thought we might get around to that.
That's coming now.
Yes. Well, I mean, the shed where I paint, it's in my garden. It's an off the peg shed, and for a long, long time it was painted a really, really tasteful white colour, and it looked really nice. And then one day, I just kind of, I just felt like doing something different, and I think I didn't have any big canvases to paint on, and I felt like painting something big. So I just started painting the kind of window frames of the shed, just with little symbols, and I kind of chose a kind of lovely blue backdrop, a lovely kind of vibrant blue.
I'm just imagining you like in your studio thinking about what you're going to paint and going, you know what, I'll just paint the windowsill. Yeah. I love it.
Well, that really is what happened. Yeah, so I started painting the window and door frames, and then of course the windows and door frames on the front of my shed, they take up most of it, so I thought I may as well just paint the rest of it, because I'm kind of on a roll here. So I continued painting the outside of the shed, and I just used some of the kind of marks and shapes that I might use in painting, so seed heads and flowers, and using those kind of decorator brushes, you know, the little foam brushes that have quite a nice edge on them, so getting nice sharp edges. I used that and just painted some little decorative shapes, and it became obsessive. So I spent about 3 days painting it, and I thought, oh yeah, I'm loving this. I'm really loving it. And then I thought, right, the only part of my shed you can actually see, because it's kind of leaning against a wall, is the front elevation and the side. So I've only actually decorated the two sides. And then I thought, oh, I know, I've had a much bigger kind of canvas on the one side panel. So I decided to paint a great big happy tree there. So one side has an actual painting on it, and the other side is kind of decorative with lots of symbols and marks. looks amazing. I love it. Although I say it myself, I do love it. And I thought I'd enter it. We have this amazing competition in the UK called Shed of the Year, which is just such a kind of quintessentially British thing. It's really, it's quite quirky. In this country, I don't know what it's like in Australia, but we really love our sheds. You know, traditionally, the shed's been quite a male preserve, but more and more now, women are kind of, you know, having sheds put up in their garden, and they're called she sheds. And there have been quite a few books written about she sheds, and there's quite a lot of media coverage as well. And even on Facebook, there's a she shed Facebook group.
Yeah, I've seen it. And people sharing, the sheds and stuff.
And so people, you know, women are doing all kinds of things. It's not just art studios. People have kind of vintage sheds, and, you know, they're using them, you know, putting a hot tub in there or whatever, you know. And so it's quite a kind of phenomenon. So I painted the shed. I entered it for the Shed of the Year. Found out only this week that I'd won the category Shed Studio.
I know, and I saw it on Instagram. Brilliant.
Oh, that awful cheesy picture of me with the coupon or thing. Yeah, it's yeah, I was so pleased to win it. And I mean, you know, all of the sheds that were entered were just incredible. You know, there was the guy who won the overall quest shed, he'd actually designed a hobbit hole, and he's a kind of a reenactment hobbyist. So he makes chainmail in his hobbit hole, which I think is just incredible. But there were lots of categories. You know, there was a nature's haven and a unique shed, and so somebody had actually put a shed on top of a vehicle, you know, like a kind of a Bedford van base, and that was pretty incredible. Yeah, I think the winner deserved to win, but I was so pleased to win the studio and workshop category. I think Instagram really helped me. I mean, I did plug it big time. Once I decided to enter, I just, you know, I put lots of posts up about it. And, you know, the support from the Instagram following helping me to win and voting was just amazing. So if anyone on Instagram is listening to this, thank you so much.
That's so good, the way Instagram can help and how the art community gets behind artists for things like this. I think it's fantastic.
I think it's great too. And I've found Instagram to be a really supportive community, a really, really good positive social media experience. So far so good. Not really had anything kind of negative at all. I think artists generally are wanting to support each other, really celebrate each other. You know, you see people. I'm inspired by so many people who I follow. I love just, you know, learning from people. You know, when you put your posts up, I learn about your techniques. And when, you know, when other artists, like for example Tracy Verdugo, who you interviewed last week, you know, she's very generous with what she puts out there. And there are lots and lots of other artists I love. And you can just kind of pick up elements of people's style and give it a go, try out things that others are doing, and then kind of integrate it into your own practice and your own way of doing things. And I find it's actually very useful in terms of not wanting to copy people, but just sort of learning. It can really help you just by looking at what people do and just kind of pondering over the, you know, and thinking, oh, how do they do that? How do they make that happen? What materials are they using? You know, that color combination looks really wonderful. It's for me very, very enjoyable just to scroll through and be inspired, and also pick up tips and hopefully inspire other people. I think it's a very positive thing.
We're very lucky, aren't we? And I know Richie, who you spoke to before, actually, but he often goes onto my Instagram feed. So for anyone listening, Richie's my husband. And he often goes on and looks at the comments. And he only did this the other day. And he said to me, he goes, I love going onto your, you know, your posts and stuff, because everybody is so lovely. And I mean, he sort of, you know, he's on different social media platforms for different things, and he says he just hasn't quite found a community like our art community. He said it's just so overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah, I think it's amazing. I agree with you. I think that people, you know, they only comment if they've got something nice to say generally.
Sorry, I was just going to say, whereas I think like over on YouTube and stuff like that, it can be pretty rough over there as far as,
can it?
Yeah, like, you know, people can get comments and things on other platforms. I think Twitter as well can be a little bit like that too. I'm not on Twitter, but it's what I've heard.
I kind of don't really engage on Twitter. I've got an account. I've got an Artist in the Shed account, but I don't auto post onto Twitter from Instagram, because I think you only have so much time to kind of engage with the audience that are following you. And I like Instagram, and I do try to thank people if they said something nice about my art. I think it's important to do that. And Twitter, it's just too much to do. I'd rather be in the shed painting than being on social media all the time. Although I do tend to kind of get in the evening sometimes, I'm just kind of scrolling through mindlessly, really. And it's such a time sucker, isn't it? And you've got to really, it's so easy. Before you know it, you've been on it for an hour quite easily. And that's such a waste of time, really. So I'm trying to get a bit more kind of disciplined about how much time I spend scrolling through and looking at things.
It's a balance, though, isn't it? Because like you were mentioning before, there's all the good stuff too.
Absolutely. So also, I mean, if people are saying nice things about you, it's important that you give people feedback. And, you know, so as you scroll, you stop and you say, oh, that's beautiful. So important that you tell somebody you think it's beautiful, because they need that feedback. They need that encouragement. I mean, everybody does, don't they? It's really nice to be able to give it as well as to receive it, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it makes a huge difference, those little words of encouragement here and there. And being an artist isn't always easy. So
it's just you, isn't it? It's you, your paints, you and your studio. You're there on your own doing it. I mean, obviously, and I guess that if you allow it to be, it can be quite a lonely preoccupation. So it's important to get out there. And so the Instagram community is one thing. It's very important, if you can, to find community locally, isn't it? I think a kind of arty community, so you feel like you've got that kind of connection with other artists. I think it's that for me is fairly crucial.
So how do you balance your week out as far as painting, connecting with people, social media and other aspects, I suppose, like business admin and stuff like that? How do you balance all that out?
Well, I don't really have a system. I need to develop one.
I don't think any of us really has a system, even if we sound like we do.
I try to, you know, sometimes I suddenly realise, oh my goodness, I haven't done a mailing to anybody for a long time. So I want to try I'm building a mailing list slowly. It's quite a slow process. I want to try to get to a place where I'm doing a once monthly MailChimp and possibly more than that. It depends where my business goes in the future. But I think I remember you did a podcast about mailing some time back, and I found that one very, very useful. It kind of gave me some clues about how I might approach it. And I use MailChimp like I think you do.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
I find it's very easy. It's quite user-friendly. It's a template, and you just, you know, you stick your photographs up and you put some blurb in there as well. But I want to connect more by using MailChimp. So I want to get more organized. I quite like to make sure I at least have a monthly offering so I can update people, and also use it as a tool to promote maybe a slightly discounted print or a special offer on a painting or some kind of special something for the people who decide they want to engage with me on a closer level through the mailing activity. My website desperately needs some attention. I mean, I've got so many paintings that need to be put up on there, and they're not up there to try to sort of engineer sales. And then there's all the kind of integration thing, integrating your website with your social media and all the rest of it. I'm not a natural techie, so I've had to teach myself WordPress. I've had to teach myself how to do the MailChimp and the social media, just like you have. And sometimes I think, oh gosh, should I buy in some professional help, particularly with the website, you know, to try to get it looking better? But then I'm quite sort of, I want it to look the way I want it to look, you know. That's a kind of dilemma that I'm currently toying with. Do I get in some professional help to enable the website to do all the things I want it to do, or do I just continue trying through trial and error and, you know, tearing my hair out to continue to do it myself?
It's a challenging thing, isn't it? Like sometimes figuring out what you can let go of and delegate to someone else. It's something that I've found difficult myself too, like knowing what.
Is it?
Yeah. And it's only recently that I have actually started to let go of a couple of things and get some help, and it's been
good.
Great.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know how you do it, really. You know, you're running e-courses, you've got podcasts.
I know. It's taken a while, but there's come a point where I've realized that I can do certain things, but there are people out there that can do things better. And it's probably
sure.
time
yeah,
to
Yeah, I think
ask.
I'm coming yeah. to... I know there are people who can certainly build a far better website than I can, that's for sure. It's working out where to invest your time and what you want to do yourself, and where you think you can, get more from someone else, a professional coming in and really helping you and making it look good. I think I'm kind of on the cusp of that stage where I will be asking for help with some things. I've got ambitions to branch out into doing e-courses. I haven't bought my video camera yet, but I'm about to buy a video camera so that, and you know, it's that again, as you know, it's working through which e-course platform would be the best. What do you want to teach people? And will anybody buy it anyway? You know, there's all that. Those are the kind of questions I'm asking myself right now. And I guess that's where you were about 2 years ago.
Yeah, it is a lot of figuring it out as you go.
Yeah, but you've been very successful. Your e-courses are going incredibly well, aren't they?
Yeah, and we, like my husband and I, we started small. You know, we really weren't sure. Just like what you're saying, like didn't really know if it was going to take off, whether it was going to be a good use of our time. So we started small. Not saying that starting small is the only way to go, but that's what we did and tested the waters. And there's been so much that we've learnt along the way, mistakes that we've made. And I mean, it's like when I was talking to Tracy in the last artist interview that I had, and she was talking about learning as you go in relation to workshops.
Yes.
I don't
know
if you heard that part, but you know, she was just saying you learn so much when you're in it. And it's the same with online courses.
I think it's like anything. I mean, if I cast my mind back to say 3 or 4 years ago, I didn't have a website. I didn't have an Etsy shop. I didn't know how to do any of these things. And I think, you know, you kind of progress in tiny steps all the time, don't you? And you kind of work your way through one thing, and then you learn how to do kind of the rudiments of WordPress, and then you learn how to do a MailChimp mailing, and you learn how to upload your stuff to Etsy and all the rest of it. And you know, I think that if I look back 4 years ago and I look at where I am right now on my journey, I wouldn't have believed I could have reached this stage. But I'm not anywhere near where I want to be. You know, there's so many things that I really want to do. And I look at other artists like you and like Tracy, and I just think, yeah, I'd really love to be running workshops in Bali or Portugal. Portugal probably would be better for me because it's closer. I'd love to run workshops in Portugal. I know the country really, really well. And I've got some ideas about, you know, that's something which I'd really like to do. And then maybe after Portugal, branch out into other areas, you know. And of course, you know, being so close to Europe, that's the most logical place for me to run a workshop. I'd love to run one in Bali, but it really isn't practical because Bali's 15-hour flight away, whereas Portugal's only 2 hours away. So it makes far more sense to kind of concentrate on. And also, I've just started experimenting and running workshops with friends, flower pot painting workshops. And they've kind of, two friends really, really enjoyed it. And through just doing that other people have been approaching me, and I've been kind of just, you know, putting out feelers and letting people know that's something I might be doing on Instagram and in my mailing. So I think, you know, come the winter, I'm going to start doing some workshops, plant pot painting and also painting workshops, because I think actually, you know, physical workshops where you're talking to people, you learn quite a lot. I mean, even doing these two workshops with friends, I learned so much about what they needed. I paint alongside. So, you know, I was painting a plant pot while they were painting a plant pot. Just chatting, really. From that, I realized that, you know, people need to know what they've got to bring with them, prompt sheets when they go away. So when they go away, they can actually sort of, you know, paint a pot at home. You know, there are lots of little things that I think that through doing something for real, you learn about what people need. So I think I'm going to probably, before I actually really launch into the e-course thing, I'm going to be doing some workshops, 1-to-1, 2-to-1, and maybe hire out a venue at some point and maybe do, say, 10 people, teach 10 people at a time or something. And then I think that will really help inform what will work in my process as an e-course, because I could do anything from lampshade making, although there are masses of those out there already, plant pot painting, through to doing my process when I'm painting and, you know, showing people the process when, for example, I paint a happy tree. You know, I don't know. There are lots of different ideas I've got kind of, you know, running around in my head that could work. I mean, there are already people out there doing things like concertina work shop. So I always take concertina books when I go on holiday, but there's already a really, really great artist in the UK doing that. So I wouldn't want to step on her toes, or what I'm saying is it's already out there. So you've got to think of something that's uniquely an offering that you can give to people,
yeah,
that they might, so that what you're giving is something that will be useful to them. Well, I kind of stopped doing e-courses for a bit because I was very conscious that if I'm actually planning to do them myself, I don't want to be too influenced by and end up kind of emulating somebody too closely, because I think that's an important thing, really kind of delving into what you're actually you can do and what you can teach yourself, and looking at different looking at process and looking at you know, the kind of subject matter you might teach. I've done a few e-courses and I've really enjoyed them all, but I want to try to move beyond that and not have them too kind of prominent in my mind when I'm actually starting to develop my own. You know, I think it's quite important that you try to keep it very, very personal to your own way of doing things. It's very easy to get very influenced, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think it's a really good strategy to kind of step away and have that time just with you and your art. It's really important, and it allows other things to come to the surface. So it's a part. Sure. It's a part of the journey, I think. And for many artists that are, you know, that go through the phase of taking a lot of e-courses and things, and I certainly went through that myself. I took a lot of classes. Then I think there is a stage of kind of processing all that you've learned and mixing and mashing it up in different ways and bringing in other things, like other influences that aren't from, you know, Instagram artists or other online teachers, but things that are completely different. You know, it might even be from a different type of art, or it might not even be art, you know, like you were talking about bringing a lot of your travel experiences in and things like that. And when you take a step back, it allows space for that to happen.
Yeah, I agree with you. And yeah, that's definitely my intention with when I actually start to develop them. And 2020 is the year I'm going to be kind of knuckling down and really, really giving this some serious thought. So yeah, you'll see them at some point, Laura. You could have a good laugh.
Yeah. No, I think it's fantastic. There's so many opportunities out there. There really are, in the online space. So I'm excited for you, and I'll be keeping an eye on what you're up to. And yeah.
Well, I'll certainly let you know.
Yeah, I found it really a wonderful experience, you know, to get into the whole online class, and I've had so much support, and you should definitely feel encouraged, because there's loads of people out there who are getting into the space, but there's still plenty of room for, you know,
well,
new people.
Well, it's like
to
anything.
Enter. Yeah.
I mean, there aren't just one or two book writers around, are there? There aren't one or two novelists. There are thousands of people writing novelists. So there's a space for everybody to do these things, but, you know, you just have to, you know, put your own mark on them, don't you, really? So yeah, I agree with you. There's plenty of room for everyone, but I'm going to give it a go in the future. It's one of the ambitions.
Sounds like you'll be busy then.
Yeah, I think so. Another area I'm quite interested in getting into is art licensing. Have you done any of that?
Only on a small scale. I licensed some work. I've done some candles and a hotel, like prints throughout a hotel, that sort of stuff, but not a huge amount. So,
no.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just beginning to explore it now, and there are a few opportunities which are beginning to come my way, which I can't really sort of broadcast at this stage. But I'm just looking at it, and you know, it's quite a big legal thing that goes along with art licensing, which I hadn't really been aware of before. You kind of get a great big contract sent to you, and you've got to sign this thing with all these legal caveats and everything. You think, oh my goodness, what am I letting myself in for here? But it's another area that I'm kind of quite intrigued by and can see some potential. So that's something which I'm thinking about getting into. But, you know, it's like there's just so much, isn't there, that you could do. And you kind of do have to think, right, OK, what's the focus going to be over the next year? And then just kind of hone it down a little bit, because, you know, there are so many things out there that we can all get involved in, aren't there?
Yes, it's a fabulous time to be an artist for that very reason, because we can go in so many different directions. You know, we can do the online classes, run workshops, you know, licensing, lifestyle products, all those things. But what you've said is so true, that we tend to get, you know, attracted to all these new things, but we have to at some point decide what we're going to focus on and
definitely
and give it a little bit of, you know, attention. But you've got to try things to figure that out as well, don't you?
You have to give everything a go. I think you have to say yes to things. And then you eventually, I mean, I haven't got there yet, but I'm hoping I'll get to a space where I kind of know that the focus is going to either be making art and doing e-courses or making art and doing craft stores or making art and doing workshops, or it could be a combination of those things. As you say, plenty of potential. It's just really working out which is the best direction and what works best for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it's through a lot of experimentation, and I've had my finger in all of those pies at some point.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's, yeah, you learn, and it's also about what you enjoy the most, isn't it? You know, what brings you the most joy, as well as being
completely
viable as far as the business side of things. And then you can...
absolutely. Yeah, you've got to hold on to the reason you actually started doing it, haven't you? You've got to really hold on. And sometimes, you know, I find that it can get so busy with various other projects and stuff. It's really important to hold on to the fact that really the reason you're doing this is because you actually like putting paint on surfaces. That's what it's all about,
isn't it? It's funny how sometimes we lose sight of that, though, isn't it? Like, you get so busy and pulled in different directions. And, you know, I've seen a few artists express this recently too. Like, you know, how can we forget about just the simple joy and pleasure that what started all of this, the paint, the splashing different things around and experimenting. So it's good that you're mindful of that, because it's weird that we need to remind ourselves, but you kind of do.
How do you find time to paint? You're doing a podcast every week. That must take so much time. you're developing e-courses. How many have you done since I think you started doing
them
about a year ago? You've done quite a few.
I've got quite a lot. I think there must be about eight or so.
It's staggering.
Yeah.
It's staggering how many you've produced in such a short time. I find that completely amazing.
Yeah, well, I do have help because my husband works full time with me. So he is doing a lot of the stuff. I'm very lucky. Like, he is editing the podcast, he is editing the online classes and things. So
that makes a huge
difference. So he is really he's in this 50%. So I have another person is behind all of this. so that helps a lot, but it has changed things a lot too. You know, I am finding I'm not getting into the studio as much as I want to be. And
I can imagine.
Yeah, and I do miss it. I don't feel like I've got the balance that I want with it quite yet, if you know what I mean.
Well, I guess it's balancing the fact that you are now a full-time professional artist. It's how you make your living with and through the e-courses and everything, with finding that space to actually get in the studio and just shut the door and just have fun and explore and experiment again. That must be quite a difficult one for you, I imagine.
Yeah, and throughout the last year or two, there's been a lot of deciding what to let go of.
And sure.
Yeah, over time. So most of the things that we've talked about in this podcast, at some point I've had my hand in with workshops, with retreats, with licensing, with all of those things, and realizing that it's hard to do it all.
Yeah, I can imagine. Do you think you'll run more retreats in the future?
Probably not for a little while. My kids are quite young, so being away for them for a while was quite sort of challenging.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's not the right time for you to do that yet.
Yeah.
Maybe in the future when they're older.
I think it might be for something, and I actually look forward to that opportunity. So it's something that I'm holding out there, sort of thinking that would be really great when my kids are older. But for now, it doesn't work that well for me. But the online stuff is great because it fits in well with my family life. And that's really what it's all about. I mean, that's when Richie and
that's
I
why
started.
You're doing it.
That's why we wanted to do this in the first place, was the flexibility and to be around our kids more. So that's another thing that we have to hold, you know, to always come back to those things, those values.
The important things.
Yeah, the important things.
Completely. Absolutely. I mean, I think in the same way, I didn't really do much art while I was bringing up my children. Well, you know, we were both working. My husband and I both work, and I was kind of juggling, you know, a part-time work with looking after the children. And I didn't really find time for the art then, particularly, because the focus was elsewhere. So I think, you know, the way that you're very bravely doing the whole thing full time as your job alongside bringing up your family is amazing. And I can see how, you know, that balancing act, that it's tricky, isn't it? And I think that now for me, because I've taken early retirement, I'm, you know, supplementing my small pension by selling art. And it's working for me right now. And I've at last in my life got time to just be selfish and to do it for me. Certainly when the children were little, that wouldn't really have been an option alongside doing part-time work. I think that, you know, all of us have that kind of balancing thing that, you know, crops into our lives when our children are very young. You know, they are the priority, aren't they? And it's finding the right balance. So I find now, for me, it's the ultimate luxury, really, having for the first time in my life time to dedicate to painting. And I do, because I'm not running e-courses and so on, I do have the luxury of being able to experiment, explore, and just have fun flinging paint around in the studio. But it's something I'm grateful for every single day, really grateful for it, because I've been through not having the time to do it. This is my time now.
Oh, absolutely. I'm so happy to hear that you are now embracing that and making time for yourself to do those things, because, I mean, your story is, like, I'm sure many people listening can relate to. You know, it is hard sometimes to make the time for art, especially when you've got little kids.
Oh, when they're little, they just need you.
Yeah.
You're pulled in all directions. I mean, how old are your children now?
So my children are 11 and 7. So they're young, but they're not, you know, they're quite independent. So they're not at the stage where I can't do things, so to speak. But then when you say that, and then sometimes, you know, I think on the weekends, oh, I might just pop into the studio, but it just doesn't happen because
I can imagine,
you know, they're chatty and they're having friends over and they want to be driven places and all that sort of stuff. So it's fine, you know, that's what being, you know, that's what family time's all about.
But it's
lovely, and I suppose encouraging to hear as well that there are these different phases in life, and for you now that you are in this stage where you can really embrace making art and you've got time and you can enjoy it. I just think that's beautiful.
Thank you. And so do I. I feel very lucky. But I think you have to kind of make your own luck in a way, by deciding, I guess, just making that commitment to something. Having the chance to make the commitment is a lovely thing. It's very fortunate, and I appreciate it hugely.
Well, Mary, it's been absolutely lovely having you on the podcast. I think we're probably going to have to wrap it up now.
Yeah, it's been lovely talking to you. It's been really, really nice, because we've been connecting on Instagram, I think, for at least 2 or 3 years. I don't know, but I've been following you for a while. So it's just lovely, lovely to talk to you. And I'm really enjoying the podcasts and everything you do.
Thank you so much. And I feel like I've been following you for quite a long time, but I don't know, actually, but I feel like I've seen your beautiful, colourful work for many years now. So it's been, you know, fantastic to be able to talk to you more and get to know your art and your process and the exciting things that you've got planned for the next, or for the future.
Well, thank you very much. It's been really nice for me to be on the podcast. Thank you for interviewing me. I did contact you, and it was very, I'm just delighted that you accepted and that you have done the interview with me. I've really enjoyed every moment.
Oh, thank you, Mary. And I wish you all the best with all your plans, all your workshops, e-courses. I'll be keeping an eye out for those.
Thank you very much. And same to you.
You enjoy the rest of your day.
And you. Thank you.
Well, that's it for this week. I hope that you enjoyed the conversation with Mary, and please do share Instagram stories. We love seeing those. Make sure you tag Mary in them. Her Instagram handle is artistintheshed. Have a fantastic week, everyone, and I hope to see you again next week.